I can see people jumping the fence.
A former WRAL reporter live on the air at the Chiefs Super Bowl celebration when gunshots rang out.
It was supposed to be the best day ever in Kansas City, and turned out to one of the worst days ever.
Only on WRAL, what he's sharing about that day, including what he says went right that may have saved lives. And where the investigation stands right now. Plus, you can now cast your ballot for the March primary election. The changes you need to know before heading out for early voting.
This quick-moving system is set to drop our temperatures. I'll show you what to expect this weekend and when the warmth bounces back.
Three children remain in the hospital tonight after they were shot during the Super Bowl victory celebration in Kansas City. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Gerald Owens. In all, more than 20 people were hurt. One person died. We've also learned that a fight likely led to the shooting. Two juveniles are in custody. A third person was released. And so far, no charges have been filed.
WRAL's Chris Lovingood joining us now in the Live Center. Chris, there is still a lot of investigating that needs to be done here.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the evidence in just a second, Ashley, but I really just want to bring up that person's picture who died again. I think it's so important that we say this woman's name. This is Lisa Lopez Galvan. Just again, for those of you who are still following this story, she was a local DJ there and a mother of two, and she, again, was killed. It was a big loss for that community. Now, let's talk a little bit about evidence. So investigators are essentially saying right now that apparently bullets and shell casings that were left behind on the scene, that is something that's going to be key in this investigation. We know that the ATF is also working with investigators to see if any of these shell casings and bullets that were left there match any weapons that were found in the scene, but also in databases that they have been looking through for this. Just to give a little recap for what some of the information we have here, we do know that more than 20 other people were injured as well, and the ages range from 8 to 47. We do know that investigators say, again, this shooting stemmed from some sort of personal dispute between several people, and the police chief says there's no link to terrorism or extremism. Now, you did mention a little bit about two people that were taken into custody. At one point, we know that was three, one adult and two juveniles. But we know that adult was actually released because it was determined that person was not linked to the crime. I do want to leave you with just one last picture here. This we first brought you last night on WRAL News. A woman I interviewed who was there at that shooting that happened said she caught this picture of police arresting one person that's right there. So right now what we're waiting to learn is if the person being arrested in this photo is actually linked to what unfolded at that Super Bowl celebration. Certainly a lot more details coming out of this story.
All right, Chris. Thank you. And in about 10 minutes, we are going to hear from a Kansas City news anchor who was live at the celebration when the shooting happened. You may recognize him. Kevin Holmes was a reporter here at WRAL for years. Coming up, I ask him about yesterday's terrifying moments and everything that's happened since.
We know Kevin very well. In the last few hours, Raleigh police announced a new partnership with the Justice Department. They'll target guns, drugs, and gang violence. The goal is to make Raleigh one of the safest cities in America. Officials say the partnership will give police access to the resources they need to make that happen.
It will also come with a surge of training resources and technical support valued at over $1 million. It will put the city of Raleigh in a league of its own in its ability to access federal grant funding to support intelligence-led and community-focused policing.
Other cities selected in previous years include Greensboro and Richmond.
A juvenile is now in custody after an SRO found a gun in a high school parking lot. The Cumberland County Sheriff's Office tells us this was the weapon they found inside a car at Douglas Byrd High School. They say school staff reported someone sleeping in the car. When the SRO approached, he noticed the gun inside that person's pocket. It turns out that person was a juvenile. A petition has been filed charging them with possession of a firearm on campus.
This is a live look at a Durham Public School work session. It's been underway for the last hour and a half. What they're doing is they're working out what's next after a salary dispute, and sick outs caused several school closures over the last few weeks. WRAL's Carly Haynes joins us live from outside the meeting. Carly, what are employees hoping to get out of this work session?
Well, Gerald, this is made up of Durham Association of Educators, workers, as well as school board members, the interim superintendent, acting CFO, and they're all working together to develop a meet and confer policy. This is being facilitated by the former Durham mayor, Steve Shule. This is the first step in developing that policy where DAE would become an advisory council to the school board. And this is a big day for the DAE because it gives them a chance to get a seat at the table, which is something they've been asking for. Under the proposed meet and confer policy, the board would consult DAE members on issues pertaining to employees. And the DAE is proposing that the meet and confer team would comprise of 13 employee representatives and an equal number of representatives appointed by the superintendent. It would also include the board chair or vice chair as non-voting members. The DAE members discuss what this meet and confer policy would mean for them.
It's a partnership. It's a team. It's a family. It's a community. We're working side by side. We're helping each other get through these crazy navigated waters, and we can get through it safely together. There wouldn't be no problems with this group or that group. We would all be in it as one.
And we heard some of the people who were expected to speak at this meeting, such as those transportation mechanics, those supervisors, those lot managers. They actually left the meeting before their time to speak. So we will not be hearing from them today about those closures on Friday and Monday and why they decided to not show up to work that day, Gerald.
All right, Carly Haynes live in Durham. Thank you, Carly.
Early voting started today for the March 5th primary election. Voters are choosing the party nominees for the general election in November. You have until March 2nd to vote early in person. WRAL Capital Bureau Chief Laura Leslie has a few pointers to make the process quicker and easier.
340 early voting sites open today all across North Carolina. That includes this one at Chavis Community Center here in Raleigh. If you're going to cast your ballot in this primary, there's a few legal changes you're going to want to know about.
Early voting got off to a slow start at Chavis, probably because the presidential nominees appear to be pretty much set. Ben Jordan was one of the first voters anyway. He says there are a lot of other races to be decided, so it's still important to make your voice heard.
Those state-level decisions matter so much, and people don't appreciate that as much as they should.
One big change this year is the new requirement for photo ID. Make sure you bring your driver's license or another approved form of photo ID with you. If you don't have one, you can still vote, but it'll be a provisional ballot, and it may not be counted. If you're voting absentee by mail, you'll now have to include a photocopy of your ID with your ballot or attest under oath to why you don't have one. Also, you may see more party poll observers in the voting area. They're now allowed to move around more. They should be wearing a badge that identifies them as an observer, and they're not allowed to interact with you, see how you vote, or photograph you. You are not allowed to take photos inside the voting area either. State Elections Director Karen Brinson-Bell says you can use your phone in the voting booth to look up information, but you can't communicate with anyone by phone or text, and you cannot snap a ballot selfie.
What is permitted is you'll find in a lot of counties that they have selfie stations outside of the voting enclosure. So someone can commemorate that they went out and voted. And we encourage that. Please let your neighbors know that you voted, that you participated.
If you're registered as a Democrat, Republican, or Libertarian, you can only vote in that primary. If you're unaffiliated in North Carolina, you can choose which party's primary you want to vote in.
Early voting runs through Saturday, March 2nd, but every county has slightly different times and days to vote, so make sure you check those before you head out. Laura Leslie, WRAL News, Raleigh.
And we have all the information you need to know before heading to the polls, maybe taking that selfie at the selfie station. Visit WRAL.com or our mobile app to find out the WRAL voting guide. There you can find polling locations, times, and the candidates on your ballot.
Cary's putting together a new program to help people forced out of their homes because of redevelopment. Chatham Estates is one of those neighborhoods. 100 families are in danger of being displaced once the mobile home community is sold. Right now, the town is working with the nonprofit Dorcas Ministries to create Stable Homes Cary. This program would cover the cost of helping people find affordable housing and work toward becoming homeowners.
If we can help people get there or help people find better situations for themselves, for their kids, for their families, that's what we're hoping to accomplish.
So we wanted to create this partnership with Dorcas to let folks know and let the community know that we are going to support them if a move is necessary.
Cary is also looking to create more affordable housing by making it easier for homeowners in every part of town to build accessory dwelling units or ADUs. Only 55 of these backyard cottages have been built in town over the last decade.
Plenty of folks want to keep AI, artificial intelligence, out of schools, but Cumberland County says not so fast.
Still ahead, the district adopted an AI chatbot that helps students with mental health issues. We got to look at how that works. But first, a Kansas City News anchor and former WRAL reporter shares his perspective after the Super Bowl celebration turned to tragedy.
KSHB 41's Kevin Holmes shares what it was like behind the scenes before and after the chaos unfolded. Kat?
We know this weather can't last forever. After all, it is still February. I'll let you know when a cold front passes coming up.
The terror at the Kansas City Super Bowl victory celebration unfolded so quickly. Nobody expected such a joyous event to turn into something so scary, even deadly. Among the thousands of people caught off guard, the local Kansas City TV crew covering the celebration. They were in the middle of their broadcast when they realized something wasn't right.
And give props to a few people before the cage bird sings.
Yes. So I think Cage Tiger. He said he was a cage tiger pacing back there. We've got crowds are dispersing.
I think they're trying to, a lot of them
and
are
it looks like
to...
they're running.
Might have a situation here we're trying to keep an eye on.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on what's happening out in the crowd here at Union Station, and we'll be sure to let you know. The crowds are dispersing rather quickly, and it looks a little different than in normal years.
Yeah, we got a lot of people running a lot of
directions.
We're
not sure if they're rushing to their vehicles or to the shuttles or if there is some sort of disturbance, but we'll definitely let you know. I can see people jumping the fence right now, and I'm not sure exactly where it is they are going to.
You might recognize the man in the middle, the anchor in the middle there. Kevin Holmes works for KSHB 41, the NBC affiliate in Kansas City. Years ago, he was a reporter here at WRAL. He came to the Triangle in 2010, spending time on the morning news and then shifting to evenings. He covered big news stories like the 2012 shooting at Cameron Village, Hurricane Sandy, and much more. Holmes spent 3 years at WRAL before going to Savannah, Georgia, and then to Kansas City, where he has been since 2016. I spoke with Holmes earlier today about the moment that the parade coverage turned into breaking news coverage and all the moments since. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us on what I know is a very busy day.
Yeah, that it is. It was still processing and figuring out exactly what happened.
Well, just walk me through that. We as journalists, we get into sort of what I call go mode when things start to break and you're starting to process what's going on and the information is just starting to come in dribs and drabs. You're just trying to get the information out to the public. Your microphone comes off last night and you're finally able to take a breath. What's going through your mind?
Still in shock and disbelief after everything kind of took place. You know, I was emotionally and physically exhausted. Some 12 hours later, I still am emotionally and physically exhausted as we just try to wrap our heads around what happened. It was supposed to be the best day ever in Kansas City and turned out into one of the worst days ever in Kansas City all at once.
There were an estimated million people at this parade. And, I'm a Bills fan, so I say this with a begrudgingly, but the Kansas City Chiefs and Kansas City Chiefs fans, no strangers to Super Bowl parades. You couldn't have expected that something like this was going to happen. And yet at the same time, we have seen events like this happen in other parts of the country in different events.
Yeah. You know, but this being the third parade we've had in the last 5 years, the parades one and two went off kind of without a hitch. You had minor arrests, but it was for public intoxication or small minor things. You don't think a shooting's going to break out, especially in what we call the epicenter of Kansas City, Union Station. I mean, about 9 or 10 months prior, we had the NFL draft right there. We had an announcement for the World Cup right there. Whenever there is something to cherish or celebrate Kansas City, it's usually at Union Station with that as the backdrop. And everything in my 8 years here has gone off without a hitch. So for it to happen is still a shock to everyone. Meaning, you know, it can't happen everywhere, but as cliche as that sounds, you never think it's going to happen to you.
How does it change the coverage or even just the way that the community deals with it, knowing that this was likely a fight that escalated, not an act of terror or something else like that?
You know, I don't know if that provides relief or not. I think it also lends itself to the fact that conflict resolution is a real thing, and it's a real thing we have to deal with, especially here in Kansas City as well. We're coming off our deadliest year ever. And, you know, at this pace, we may outpace what happened in 2023. And I think what really hurts us more than anything is that at least a dozen of the victims are babies. I just got off a news conference with our children's hospital. The good news is three of the kids are still in the hospital and they're expected to make a full recovery. Nine have been discharged, but we've had babies shot, you know, and that is really what tugs at the heartstrings of several people here.
I've listened to two hospital news conferences, and at both of those news conferences, the officials there said, were it not for the quick and coordinated actions of the fire department and all of the emergency first responders, we may have had a more deadly scenario here. When we think about how this could happen anytime, anywhere, for our viewers in Raleigh, what went right yesterday that we can take away from?
Well, I think what went right here in Kansas City was the ultimate coordination between all of the agencies here and the fact that we've been here before, if that makes sense. I think if this were our first parade for such a large grand scale event, we'd be in more trouble. There may even be more deaths than there were. Going back to Raleigh-Durham, I think just communication amongst the police agencies and several of the agencies is paramount to prevent something like this from happening or at least keeping it under control.
Hey, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. And great job with all of your coverage and keeping your viewers informed, and keep it up. I know there's going to be a few busy days ahead.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You know that he's going to be covering this. There are going to be more news conferences as we learn more about the detainees and all of the victims.
You know, I talked to Kevin. I've been texting him today about this back and forth and talking about how exhausted he's been. Mm-hmm. They've been on the air. We're on the air for hours and hours yesterday and into this morning. I remember last time I saw him was in Kansas City for the NFL draft back in April.
Okay.
And that city is so passionate about football, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's so completely different, the scene, because, you know, everybody is up here. And for that to happen, it brings the entire city down like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
It's a shame what happened.
And with all the crime that they've experienced last year as well. Well, you know that the recovery efforts are just now beginning.
Yeah. Kat Campbell joining us now. She's in the WRO Severe Weather Center. We're going to talk about the weather. Beautiful day today, Kat, but that's going to change too, like
it's
it always does.
It's going to change. It always does. You know, things are always changing around this time of year in North Carolina. And today's beautiful weather will continue into tomorrow to some degree. The difference is that we're going to see more of this cloud cover move into the area tomorrow. It won't be quite as warm as today, but highs are still going to be in the 60s. Looking ahead, though, we do have a cold front and this area of low pressure headed our way for the weekend. It brings minimal rain with.
School leaders in Cumberland County are using artificial intelligence to help students deal with mental health issues. Kiwi the Llama is an AI chatbot developed by mental health professionals. A company called Alongside is behind this. They partner with schools nationwide. Students can log on and have private chats with Kiwi about things that are troubling them. It's already helped one student who had a panic attack on campus.
My best friend happened to be there with me, and she was just checking on me and making sure I was okay, and it was fine. And then I got a little alone time later, and I started using the app, and the app gave me ways to help calm myself down.
A parent's permission is required to use Kiwi.
Meals on Wheels is celebrating serving the community for 50 years. Today, I went out to help deliver meals to people in Wake County. We started at the location on Blair Drive. A special thanks to clients Lucien and Joe for the great conversation. I just loved having a chat with them. Meals on Wheels' mission is to serve homebound as well as seniors with hot meals and most of all, companionship. You can give and even volunteer by going to their website, wakemow.org. It was a great time.
It means so much to these seniors, too. Just to meet you and say hello.
Oh, it was really nice. Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Good. Thanks for joining us here on WRAL News.
Have a good night. Our next newscast, 10 o'clock on Fox 50.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.